Accession number 30,005, Mr. Ted Hitchcock, Reel 2. Now, what other training were you doing at the Recruit Centre at Blackpool?
None that time.
No PT?
I think we did the odd... We had stretch of PT, I think.
What kind of PT?
A long while ago, well... Nothing very serious, nothing very strenuous, but I was fairly fit. As I say, I'd been in the brigade in a tumbling team and a parallel bar team, and I'd been playing football and cricket regularly, so I was pretty fit.
So how long were you there for? You didn't do any wireless training there?
Not at that time.
So what happened?
We were there for a fortnight.
So into June-ish?
Yeah, well, yes, May, June. And then...
Now that would be the time of Dunkirk. Were you aware of that?
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to think what happened after the initial square bashing.
So
after Blackpool, we were to go on this ground defence, and I was going to White Waltham, and we were on Blackpool football ground, receiving a first pay, which I think was a 10-bob note. And as we were lined up, a corporal came along and he said, "I want a volunteer. We've got a posting, and I want somebody to go to over there, Doncaster, Finningley. I want a volunteer. It's a compassionate posting." And I thought, I hadn't got a clue where White Waltham was. I knew where Finningley was, so I volunteered to go.
So you didn't go to White Waltham in the end?
Didn't go to White Waltham, no. I volunteered, so I was transferred. And it dawned on me after a couple of days that the lads I was with weren't aircrew. And I'd switched. I'd gone from a crowd of aircrew bods to a crowd of ground defence fellas. And I thought I'd done the wrong thing.
Now, where were you based at Finningley? What accommodation were you in?
Finningley, we were in, if I remember right, we were in married quarters.
Comfortable then?
I think we were in married quarters.
And what were your duties on ground defence?
Well, in actual fact, we went to our gun post. Most of the lads were on gun posts round the airfield. But I was lucky, because our gun post was an old cottage. And we used to do 24 hours at the cottage and 24 hours off.
Now, what type of gun? Lewis gun?
No, it was a Vickers gas-operated machine gun. And this is one thing which, I mean, that's the first gun that you actually learn as a gunner. So It did me in good stead, that did. But when we were
now off... When you were on it, so you were on this post with a Vickers gas-operated machine gun. When had you had your training on it, or did you get it on the job? You hadn't had any training on it at Blackburn?
Oh, no. We were just stuck on a gun post, and that was it. Occasionally, you went along to the butts and fired a few rounds and hoped for the best.
What was it like? Is it very different from the water-cooled Vickers? You know the water-cooled Vickers that the Army use with the belt. Was the gas-operated one similar?
Yes. They were in most of the aircraft, you know. Most of the aircraft had Vickers gas-operated gun.
What were they like? Can you describe the operation, or is it too far? I know it's a long time ago.
Well, they were gas operated. The bullets were fired out by the gas that came from the shell. But apart from that, I mean, it was just a machine gun.
And was it mounted on a post, or how was it mounted?
Oh, these were all mounted properly on. Either posts or whatever, they could be swung about. You've got a fairly good range.
And what was your what was a typical stint on them like? How long would you be on it for?
How long?
Was it 4 hours or 8 hours? Or?
Well, no, we used to go out at lunchtime. And you'd be there till the following lunchtime. And what we actually worked on our particular post was we did an hour outside on sentry duty, and then we did an hour on the telephone. And then we changed over, and then we changed over to the other two members, and they did the same thing. So really you did a stint sentry duty for an hour, telephone duty for an hour, and then if Sheffield was being attacked, then of course you got the red and you had to man the guns.
Now, was the airfield
ever... We came off duty the following day. You were supposed to be off duty, but usually you spent your time on the square or doing something.
But not training?
Yes. In fact, part of the training was gunnery. And it did me in good stead when I got...
Now tell me about the training. What training did you get in gunnery? It was on the Vickers, I presume.
It was on the Vickers there. You were taught to strip it and look after it. Strip it and put it together.
Was it easy to strip down? Or was it... Some of them...
Well, it wasn't difficult. No, it wasn't difficult.
And would you get much firing practice?
Not a lot, no. No.
Now, was your airfield, was Finningley ever attacked while you were on duty?
No.
So, for you, it was a precautionary thing. You were there, you were ready for action, but it never came.
No, we didn't get attacked.
So how long were you there for? From June to roughly?
I'm trying to think what happened when I left there. I was interviewed. I was on the square one day, and the sergeant came across, and as I've said, I was with a crowd of ground crew.
So ordinary aircraft men who were ordinary members,
not air crew. The sergeant came across and he said, "Right, the station commander wants to see you at, I think it was 11 o'clock, I think it was. Go and smarten up and report to the orderly room." And I thought, well, I said, well, you don't remember doing anything wrong. Anyway, I went and I saw the adjutant and I said, "What's it about?" And I said, "I don't know." Anyway, I went in and he was very nice, the CO. I didn't know him, CO. Went in and said, "I've got a signal here. I'm got to telling me to persuade you to remuster." So I looked at him and said, "Yes." He said, "They want you to take a pilot's course."
How did you feel about that?
So, well, it was one of those things. I said to him, one condition, I'd only been in the service a few weeks, and the condition to the CO. I said, "On one condition, sir." He said, "What's that?" I said, "It's a fighter pilot." "Oh, no," he said. He said, "That's decided when you, a long while after you've started your training." So anyway, he said, "Will you remuster?" I said, "Yes." And he actually took me to the door and he shook hands with me at the door and wished me all the best. And my gosh, this got round like wildfire. It didn't do me any harm. But never heard a dicky bird about it. Never heard a thing afterwards.
So nothing came of it?
No. No.
So what happened next?
Well, I went back. And I'm trying to think what happened. There were no vacancies. There were still no vacancies. And I think I went from there. I went from there to Syston. No, I didn't, because I went to Sarton as a ground warp. From there we went back to Blackpool.
And when was that, roughly?
Well, it was towards the end of the year. And we went to Blackpool and did the radio course. We were in private, but we were learning the Morse code, actually.
Now, how did they teach you the Morse code?
We were in the winter garden. We were in a room with about, I don't know, it must have been 20 desks and 20 instructors and 20 classes, and the instructor used to tap out the Morse code, tap out on the key, and you gradually learnt the code and learnt the speed. That's right. And then from there were still no vacancies.
Now, were you doing any other signal training there?
Hmm?
Were you doing any other wireless or signal training at Blackpool?
No, not at Blackpool. It was just more.
Now, how did you take to Morse code?
Well, how do you mean?
Well, some people are good at it naturally, and some people have a lot of trouble with it.
It was something you got to set your mind to. You know, the instructors had different ideas. But it came fairly easy to me. And we used to have tests, and then eventually there were still no vacancies.
What speed did you get up to, or would you not know?
Well, around about 12 words a minute.
So how long were you there for? From what, December 40 or?
We were there for, I should imagine, probably, I don't know, it's a long while ago. Probably a couple of months. Could even have been more.
So into 41 then?
Yeah.
And what happened then?
Well then, I think I came I'm not sure whether I went to Syston or whether we actually went to Cranwell. I think possibly we went to Cranwell.
And what were you doing at Cranwell?
Well, I was learning the radio course.
Now, what was that course like? What were you learning? Which radio?
Oh, we got 11:54, 11:55, or whatever. But also the procedure, you know, building up the message and all the rest of it.
So how did you operate those wireless? Because people don't know what they even look like now. What were those wirelesses like? What controls and operations did you have on them?
Oh, you got to. It's marvellous what you could do with those sets. I mean, you could. First of all, you could send out messages on the key. You could receive messages through the receiver. Well, that was mainly it, sending and receiving. But also, you learn to build up a message.
In what way build up a message?
Well, it was call sign, Vic call sign, was how you started, you see. That was your opponent, whoever you were trying to contact, you'd send out their call sign, then you'd send a V, and then you'd send your own call sign. And then it would be acknowledged, and then you would tell them what you were doing and communicate with the key.
It was all Morse. It was all Morse.
All in Morse, yes. And when you'd finished, well, you had various, you always give an extra pip when you'd finished and how you received, but it was quite interesting.
Anything happened while you were there?
No, Cranwell, no. Yes. Actually, I went to Cranwell, 2 or 3 weeks ago, but I'd forgotten about this. But the very first jet did its trials there whilst we were there.
What, in 41?
Yeah, and it was a weird effort. It was, the wings were well set back, but the thing that knocked the boys was the fact that it was being guarded by the army. We weren't allowed anywhere near it, and yet it was being guarded by the army. But yes, I remember.
What did you think of it when you saw it?
Well, it was just one of those things. It was a jet, and it was really a funny shape because the wings were well set back. But anyway,
did you see it fly?
Oh yes.
What did it look like? I mean, was it good?
Yes, it was all right. Yes, it did its trials. Yeah. Yes.
Anything else about Cranwell?
No. After I left Cranwell, I came to Syston.
And what as?
Well, we were actually wasting time because there were no vacancies at gunnery school.
So what were you here at Syston as?
I came to Syston as a ground wop. And
so as a ground wireless operator?
Yeah. And we were on the three system, which meant that I couldn't get home every night. So eventually I got myself switched from that to telephone maintenance.
What were you doing as ground wireless? We'll come to that, but as a ground wireless operator,
as a ground wireless, you're on wireless watch.
Sometimes, what does that mean?
Well, sometimes we were in the watchtower, listening for messages, and there, of course, not only had they got the radio sets, but they'd also got the TR-9, which was a vocal thing. You see, the station was operational. So
it's in Nottinghamshire, isn't it? Where is Syston? Where is it? Sorry.
It's halfway between here and Grantham.
That's it. It's near Bingham. Sorry. Now, you were saying, so they had telephony as well, did they? Or was it just Morse code?
Well, there was what they call the TR-9. It had a...
Now, what? I don't know that. What is that?
Well, it's a radio set with a radius of about 10 miles. And all aerodromes had got one. All aerodromes... They had one in the watchtower. They always had a beacon set, which is like a signpost. It's flashing two letters all the time. There was one on there, and there was also one at the end of the runway when the aircraft were taking off. But it had about a 10-mile radius.
Now, could you talk on this, or was it just like a beacon?
Sorry?
This TR-9, was it a beacon, or was it...
No, it's a set.
You could talk on it?
It's a radio set, yes.
So you could talk to aircraft approaching and leaving the air?
Oh, yes. As I say, it was about a 10-mile radius. Aircraft carried them. There was one on an aircraft, so they could speak manually to control or anybody else. In fact, a lot of it was done on there rather than Morse.
Were you pleased at that? It must have been easier.
Yes, it was part of the job, but I mean...
You know how you had a message construction system? Was there voice procedures as well they had to learn for on that set?
Not really, no. You soon picked up the usual contact system. Ways of finishing the message off and ways of starting and ways of contacting. They're all part and parcel of the training.
Were you using codes at all?
Codes? Yes. We used a code for Morse. It was called the... we had the X code, and the Navy had a Q code. But the X code was covered just about everything you wanted. Instead of bashing out your message in longhand, you use this. Use a contact that when you were taking off, it was contact with a three-figure number, X, three figures. X code was used a lot.
Now, anything else about your time at Syerston?
Pardon?
Anything else about Syerston?
No, I don't think so.
How long were you there?
I was there, I think, about 3 months.
Had you had any promotion by this time, or were you still basically aircraftman, really?
No, we were still an AC-2.
So what after Syerston, then?
Well, after Syerston...
Oh, hang on. No, you said you got made a switchboard operator while you were there.
Made?
You switched from wireless to... Was it switchboard operator or telephone operator?
Not an operator. No, we switched to telephone maintenance.
Now tell me about that.
Now all the gun posts were connected by a telephone.
So they had gun posts at Syerston as well?
Oh yeah, so all aerodromes have got gun posts. And they were all connected by phone. And if one went wrong, that was it. That was our job to sort out.
Were they easy enough to repair?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, usually. I mean, this was early in the war, you know, and it was... there was nothing to see cables floating about anywhere. I mean, all right, they wanted to connect this one with that one, so they just ran cables at somewhere. And you got quite a lot of faults, but generally speaking, it was better for me because I could get home every night. You see, I'd got a bike, I could get to Bingham.
A motorbike or a pushbike?
No, I'd got a pushbike for a start, then I bought a motorbike, yes.
So you get home most nights, would you?
I didn't sleep at home. I had to be back, but at least I could get home in the evening. Whereas when we were on this other shift business, you couldn't.
That must have been nice to get back.
Sorry?
Must have been nice and quite unusual to be able to do that.
Yes, it was. It was. We were lucky. It didn't last ever so long, but there we are. And then we got recalled.